Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
A special word of welcome to our visitors and our guests. We're happy that you're here. We hope you feel at home at St. Benedict's. There was a very sociable lady, a lady that even though she lived alone with her little pet parakeet, everyone knew her. Everywhere she went, she spoke to people, they identified her easily, they knew who she was, and she told everyone about her pet Chippy, the little parrot. Everywhere she went, the market, the bank, the post office, everyone knew all kinds of stories about Chippy. So Chippy kind of became a local celebrity. One day, though, while the very social lady was trying to clean Chippy's cage, she had the vacuum cleaner in there, and she had it going full blast, and she forgot to put the attachment, you know the attachment on the tube? And the phone rang, you see, and she had to talk to some of her neighbors, and just as the phone rang and the vacuum cleaner went, horrible sound came from the vacuum cleaner. Yes, in fact, Chippy had been sucked up by the vacuum cleaner. And now Chippy ended up in that big dust bag, you know? And so she decided to open up the bag real fast to get Chippy out. Well, Chippy was in there, kind of shaking, filled with dust. And so she was desperate. So she ran to the kitchen sink, and she turned on the water, full blast, so that Chippy can get cleaned off. And now Chippy was trembling. And then she thought, oh, I gotta dry up Chippy. So she ran to the bathroom and she got the blow dryer. And she held Chippy with one hand and the blow dryer with the other and aimed it right at Chippy. And a few seconds later, Chippy was dry. Now, of course, this was so notorious all over the place that a reporter came to see her sometime later to find out how's Chippy. Everyone wanted to know in the local paper, what was the state of Chippy? What would Chippy look like? And so when the reporter asked, well, how's Chippy doing these days? The nice lady responded by saying, well, he's just sitting up in his cage and he kind of stares. The fact is, Chippy was in shock. Chippy was traumatized. He had been through a lot. During the past several Easter Sundays, because Easter is not just one Sunday, by the way, I know that you all love that one Easter Sunday when everyone comes to church with their beautiful hats and the children go out and get their Easter eggs and the Easter egg hunt and there's all kinds of fun and an Easter bunny jumping around and all that. But the truth is, Easter lasts 50 days. And today is Pentecost. The reason it's Pentecost, it comes from the word 50. Pentecost. It's the 50th day of Easter. The disciples of Jesus were also in shock. They had been through very traumatic experiences. They had seen the passion of the Lord, and they had witnessed and heard about the resurrection experience, the empty tomb. And then they had to hide for a while, according to the gospel. They were hiding for fear of those who would persecute them for being associated with Jesus. So they were in shock, if you will. But there was a promise. There was a promise that they kept hearing about, and a promise that they had taken to heart, the promise that they would not be left alone, that they would receive a helper, an advocate, a paraclete, all kinds of different names we use for the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost. And that promise was in their hearts and minds. And on this day, we celebrate the fulfillment of that promise, that the Spirit came upon them. I don't know about you, but when someone tells you, Oh, I promise. You kind of get this impression it's going to happen, right? It's like when my kids are good, you know. My wife and I, we have this thing we do with the kids. We tell them, you know, if you're really good this week, on Saturday, you get to go to the dollar store. And at the dollar store, you can choose whatever toy you want. Just one. But you get to choose one. And so believe me, when we say that, we hear about that promise about 50 times during the week until it happens. But are we going to the dollar store? I ate all my food. But aren't we going to the dollar store? I did this or I did that. So there's this promise that they keep in mind, and they keep reminding us of the promise. The friends of Jesus, his disciples, his closest collaborators, they were mindful of the promise, but sometimes they were distracted. Sometimes they were not mindful of the fact that God was really with them, and that God was to come to them, and that the Holy Spirit would dwell with them, and that they would never be alone. And I would fast forward now to the 21st century, to our own situation, and I would say we're pretty much the same. Sometimes we forget that God is with us, that the Spirit of God dwells in us. Sometimes we forget that everything we do and everything that is worthwhile in what we do is a result of the action of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Sometimes we get distracted and we forget that we are temples of the Holy Spirit. That since the moment of our baptism, we received that same Spirit that the apostles received at Pentecost, and then that Spirit is the one that acts in us and does everything through us. The scriptures tell us that the disciples were able to understand each other, even though they were all speaking a bunch of different languages. It was through the gift of the Spirit and the love of God active in that moment that there was no more division. They were all able to understand each other and comprehend their words. Even though they were speaking in multiple languages, they came from all over the world, and they were there, and they were able to understand each other. I think for us, it may not be the variety of languages that we have to worry about. In our particular situation today, when you think about it, with everything that's going on in the world, with all the stress that is part of our daily living because of our constant multitasking, trying to solve problems, doing this, doing that, all of the different things that distract us and tear, if you will, at our attention or pulling us in different directions, all of that can only begin to make sense when we allow the gift of the Spirit to guide us, to give us the peace, the wisdom, the understanding, to give us a sense of being able to make sense of all of the events of our world and all of the experiences that we go through. And when we put all of that together, at the end of the day, it is only by the gift of the Spirit that we can make sense of the things happening in our lives. And so we too must be docile and open to God's Spirit. We too must ask the gift of the Spirit on a daily basis to guide us. Come, Holy Spirit, guide me, teach me, instruct me. I know I'm not alone, Lord. You've promised that you would be with us always. Perhaps part of the problem that we have with the Holy Spirit is that it's hard for us to put a face on it. I don't know how many of you remember. The kids here don't remember because you guys didn't have to put up with that. But in the old days, in the old catechism, you remember how you looked at the picture books about the Trinity, right? God the Father was what? An old man with a white beard, right? White hair, white beard, remember? God the Father. And then God the Son, Jesus, was kind of a younger gentleman, right? with the dark hair and the dark beard, right? And then the Holy Spirit was a dove. Because the scriptures tell us that the Spirit appeared in the form of a dove and hovered over the waters. And at the baptism of Jesus, the Spirit came in the form of a dove. So we've never been able to put a human face on the Spirit. We put a human face on God the Father, no problem. Hey, God the Father, that's a pretty human image that we all know about. God the Son, well, the Word made flesh, Jesus himself. That's pretty easy. But then what happened to the Holy Spirit? It's a bird, for heaven's sake. How do you put a human face on a bird? You can't. And so for us, we use the image of Holy Spirit or Holy Ghost, we even call it Holy Ghost, imagine, as kind of an unknown. And many theologians speak of the Holy Spirit as the great unknown. You know, what is it exactly if it's not like me? Well, I got news for you. God, Father, Son, and Spirit, God cannot be easily defined by human beings. No matter how much we try, we say God is love, for that's the closest word we've got to describe who God is. God is love. But we use human images and symbols that we can understand to make sense of God, but they're all limited. God's bigger than all that. And so when we say that God is a Father, even that image is limited. And we say God the Son, because he came from the Father. And we say God the Spirit. What are we saying? We're saying that God is always with us. That God is the Creator. That God is the Redeemer. And that God is the Sanctifier. That this one God manifested in three persons is the one God that we all say God is love. The one we define with those four letters, love. And so the love of God dwells in us by the gift of God's Holy Spirit. The service that we do for God happens because of the action of the Holy Spirit. The understanding of the Word of God, the trying to grasp what God is asking of me at this particular moment in my life, happens because of the action of the Spirit of God. All of the sacraments of the church, from baptism to the end of life, with the anointing or the extreme unction, the last rites, all of the sacraments are the church calling upon the action of the Spirit. So the Spirit of God is present here. And we'll even see gestures sometimes in the church, whether it's the bishop at confirmation or the priest at the Eucharist, where hands are extended over someone's head, or hands are extended over bread and wine, or hands are extended upon a person who is sick. All of those moments and so many others speak of our faith, that God really is with us. And that all we are doing is calling upon that presence of God to be present here, to be here at this moment for some specific purpose. We call upon the Holy Spirit because we know God is with us. It'd be impossible for us to call upon someone if we thought they weren't there. But we call upon the Spirit because we know with certainty and with faith that God is with us. And so everything that we do as church, as followers of Jesus, is the direct result of the action of God's Holy Spirit. And it's good for us to keep that in mind, because then it's when we begin to understand that we're really working for God, not for ourselves and not for anyone else. We're doing God's work by the action of God's Holy Spirit. And it's God who is active and alive in and through us, doing everything that needs doing. And so often in our lives, beyond the shock, beyond the stress, beyond the being pulled in so many different directions, beyond whatever distractions come our way, we always have to come back to that one place where we can say, come, Holy Spirit, and be with us now. Guide us with the light of your truth. Guide us with your strength, with your power, with the fire of your love. Come, Holy Spirit, come. In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.